This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and 50,000 retirees. We are part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available on podcast on iTunes. Simply go to the podcast app on your iPhone or iPad and search for DC 37 State of the Union. DC 37 members, there are now more ways than ever to stay in touch with your union. You can follow us on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can visit our website, www.dc37.net. We have just redesigned the website. It's at the same web address I just gave you, but with a whole new look and feel that aims to offer our members an enhanced user experience, whether they visit to learn about union activities or to access benefits and services. And, of course, the Public Employee Press is in your mailbox every month. This Tuesday is primary election day. And it's important that we all exercise our right to vote and to have our voices heard. Welcome to the show, DC 37 political action director.
Definitely an actor.
Jeremy, a very important actor, in my opinion. Jeremy John is here with us this evening. Welcome to back to the show.
Good evening, Chris. How are you?
I am good. I'm a little psyched up. There's been so much going on in the world in the last couple of weeks. And one of the most important things that we have to do is get out to vote both in the primary and then again in November. And we should talk a little bit about, although we don't do endorsements mm-hmm. on the show, and I urge all listeners to go to the Public Employee Press, which should be in their mailbox soon, to get a full list of the DC 37 endorsements. But the idea that every once in a while someone will either email us, and you can email us at stateoftheunion@dc37.net, or they'll post on social media, wondering why the union gets so involved in political activity. And we are constantly talking about how connected the decisions that affect our membership is, how closely connected that is to politics and to government. And let's talk about that a little bit.
So there's a lot there to discuss. So let's try to peel back the onion one at a time. So by the nature of our job, we are public employees for the city of New York. By that nature, our job is directly political because it is tied to the administrations of the mayor and to a lot of extent, the city council.
Which passes laws that affect the way we live.
Which passes laws and actually oversees the departments in which our members work. So our jobs are overtly political. And the struggle that I understand some members have about whether or not they should be able, whether or not they should participate in an election, is also twofold. One, your participation in an election directly impacts your communities, right? Voting in America, voting in the United States, voting in New York is an exercise in power. So the more that you vote in your community, the more you strengthen your communities. There's no misconception whatsoever out there that communities that have a larger turnout and voter participation see more attention paid to them by the elected officials that are elected in those areas. So voting is your power. It is directly benefiting your home way of life. It also benefits your employment because, again, you are public employees, and a lot of that is connected to the elected officials that are in charge of the government. So putting someone in office that shares the values of public employees and people in the labor movement directly impacts our ability to get good contracts, impacts our ability to get the benefits that both make our lives and our families' lives better, directly impacts our ability to get raises. So there's a natural connection to public employees Absolutely. Participating in the voting process.
And then we live in the community. Precisely. So if we are in communities that do not have large voter turnout, and that which brings down the accountability factor,
Correct.
then, I mean, there are certain parts of the city, and I don't want to get provocative here, but there are certain parts of the city where folks show up to vote, and thus citywide officials are paying attention to those folks, those communities. And this isn't just about our roles as public employees. It's about our roles as we live in certain communities. We want attention paid to those communities. And the union has always been a very active player in politics.
Absolutely. And we have adopted the moniker that it is not only our responsibility to take care of our members in the workplace, but it's also our responsibility to take care of our members in the communities that they live. That's why we endorse local candidates. That's why we get involved in local elections, because we believe working with members that the candidates that we endorse will actually make their home lives better, right? Will create the projects, address the needs, address the quality of life issues that are in these communities that will make the lives of our members and their families significantly better.
Now, I know you are, as political action director, you are responsible for coordinating and mobilizing much of the activity of the union when it comes to government elections and politics. Part of that is getting members involved in the process, because this is not about, you know, once again, we have this, who's the union? The members of the union.
Yes.
And making sure that the members, people who complain about the union are people who are not, who are often not playing any role whatsoever. And we are always welcoming, and let me not tell this, you tell this.
So we started this great program this year under the direction of Executive Director Henry Garrido, where we organized and recruited VMOs, volunteer member organizers. We have right now close to 80 VMOs that are talking to members about the issues that matter to them. We're talking about the impending court case. We're talking to them about the right to work wave that's going on across the nation. We're talking to them about the Constitutional Convention that's coming up this year. We're talking to them about the elections that's happening in New York City this year. Like, these are the things that that directly impact our members in a real, real fact-of-life way. And one of the things that I've learned since my tenure here at DC 37 is that the members don't know anything unless you talk to them.
Right.
And it's the VMO's responsibilities and their roles, and they've gladly taken up. We've got a great set of VMOs that have stepped up to the plate and have been energized going out there every day, day after day, talking to members, informing them about what's going on, what the state of the union is, what the landscape is, what are the challenges that we face as a union, as DC 37, and letting them know that I am you. I am a member just like you. I am not, I have family. I have responsibilities as well. But my job is to inform you. My job is to strengthen the union by sharing information.
And that strength is membership strength.
It's absolutely.
It's not some other thing called the union. It is, if the union is strong, the members are strong. And I just want to, one of the things that we have at, I know at the national level that AFSCME has, and a number of unions are finding out as we go through this process of trying to activate folks, folks are busy. Folks have very busy lives. They've got families. They've got responsibilities.
Absolutely.
They've got hard jobs, and they're working overtime to help make things come together. They do not have the natural time factors to do everything.
Absolutely.
But I think that we are discovering that there are more folks who want to play some kind of role and be involved in some way.
And one of the strengths of DC 37 historically has been our activist base, right? We have, through the 70s, throughout the 80s and 90s, we've always had a strong core of activists that have been connected to this union in a real, real way. So now we're just changing the direction, changing the methodology in which they interact with other members. It's a unique experience that we're learning, because we've adopted this one-on-one, this one-on-one model, where members are speaking directly to members. There is no pressure being placed on members. There's no there's no unsettling conversation that's happening. It's purely a fact-based conversation where you feed people information.
And if you want to become more involved in your union as a volunteer activist or as a volunteer member organizer, what should a member do?
Well, the best thing to do is to contact the Political Action Department at 212-815-1550 and tell them that you're interested in being a volunteer member organizer. And we will do the necessary follow-up to make sure that you're engaged and that you can be fully integrated into the program.
You mentioned the court case earlier. The court case is a case that's been working up through the court system, which the Supreme Court of the United States, it's a case called Janus versus AFSCME Council 31 in Illinois, and it is about basically workers' rights and union rights. And that case may be heard by the Supreme Court as early as October. And the stakes in that case are very high.
Yes, this case can directly impact the union's ability to provide services to function on behalf of the members. This strikes at the core of who we are as a union. If we're not able to provide the services, if we're not able to give the members the necessary grievances that we're able to provide, if we are not able to have the necessary financing to provide the litany of services, whether it's the MELS program or health and security and all the array of services that DC 37 offers, that cripples us. That hurts the families that we represent. So this court case goes at the very fabric of who we are and what our members expect from us.
And this case has been, just so that listeners are clear, this is a case that has been working up through the court system. There is an organization called the National Right to Work Foundation, which has been pushing cases like this up through the court system. There was a case a couple of years ago called Friedrichs versus California. And that case was also about union rights, and it was about the right of folks to come together. And that case was almost lost a couple of years ago, and there was a kind of divine intervention, and Antonin Scalia died, one of the most conservative right-wing folks on the court. And so that case was deadlocked 4-4 without Scalia there to vote. And mm-hmm. We got a reprieve on that. But these folks are well-funded. These folks have deep pockets, and they are putting forth an ideology that is anti-worker. They believe that for corporations to do better, that happens at workers' expense.
Absolutely.
And that is so this case has worked its way up and has a great could have a great impact. And we are trying very hard to fight that by making sure that members know more about what the union can do and getting folks to sign up to be members.
Precisely. The strength of the union, as you said earlier, is our members.
Right.
And we cannot remain strong. We cannot make sure that the union is stable without our membership, right? So making sure that members know what their option is once this right to work case is decided on directly impacts our ability to grow and our ability to provide the services. So letting the members know now, going out there, talking to them, letting them know the dangers that exist in a world post-Janus is very, very critical to the long-term stability of our union.
We're talking with Jeremy John. He's the political action director of DC 37. If there's anything about the conversation that you want to weigh in on, drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. We're talking about the primary, which is September 12th, and we're urging folks to get out and vote in the primary. We're urging folks to look at the public employee press to see who we're supporting in the upcoming primaries. But then there is November after September. Well, there's September, October, November. But in November, there will be the elections for citywide offices. There is also the Constitutional Convention. And this is something that we've been out there making a lot of noise about as well.
This is something that is very, very critical to our long-term stability in New York. The Constitutional Convention, just for background purposes, is something that happens every 20 years as stipulated in the New York State Constitution. that every 20 years this question is posed on the ballot. One of the most important things that are inherent in the Constitution that directly impacts union members is our right to collectively bargain, our right to organize, the benefits that, our pension, that is all ingrained in the Constitution. So it is with the wave of right to work that's going on across the country, opening up the Constitutional Convention strikes, can potentially strike all those protections that we have as union members in the Constitution. It can strike it out. There is a movement afoot by both some ultra liberals and some ultra conservatives to get the Constitution opened for this vote to pass. But we have to take a stand. And now is our moment to take a stand. And how we go about that is making sure that we go out and making sure our friends and families go out to vote no in November.
And there is this illusion that's out there that, it sounds again like Ben Franklin in 1776. Yes. We should have a constitutional convention. But as you just said, there are protections and rights that were put into the convention. Into the Constitution.
Yes.
That are at play, or that could be at play if there was a convention. So there is much for working folks in New York State to lose: retirement security, the right to bargain, if a convention is opened, and the process of putting together a constitutional convention, of making a constitutional convention happen, will cost
hundreds of millions of dollars. The numbers have ranged from $100 million, and there have been several articles where I've seen it go up to as much as $200 or $300 million. This is all part of the issue that folks are not talking about. The proposed cost of several hundred millions of dollars can go towards the much-needed programs that are need to get funded in the annual budget. Like, it doesn't make sense to change course and open up a convention when there is already a mechanism in place for whatever changes need to get done in the Constitution. They can go through the normal legislative process, two consecutive legislative processes in Albany. The process already exists. Why then take hundreds of millions of dollars to open up a convention when there's already a mechanism in place to get those changes done?
And if a constitutional convention happens, and if retirement security and the right to bargain come out, it is not easy to get them back in.
No.
We're talking about something that will have a very serious impact for a very long time.
Again, so the Constitutional Convention happens every 20 years. So then we have to wait another 20 years for the opportunity to get pension back in, to get bargaining back in. And then we have to go through another campaign to get folks then to vote yes for it, right? And then we have to go through the entire delegate process, right, which is a multi-year process because it involves voting for delegates and then voting for the amendments to the Constitution that they propose. It is a multi-year, hundreds of millions of dollars will get wasted again, while the money can be invested in programs, in schools, in hospitals, in our communities that are in dire need.
So this question of whether or not there should be a constitutional convention, it is on the ballot in November. We're urging folks to vote no on that.
Proposition 1, correct.
It is the first proposition on the ballot.
So, on the back of the ballot.
So we urge folks to know. Knowledge is power. We urge folks to know about this and to walk into the voting booth in November ready to pull that lever for a no vote. Jeremy John is the... Let me ask a question, Jeremy John, political action director of DC 37. Is there something else I should have asked you?
No, don't forget to come out to vote on September 12th for the New York City Council primaries and the mayoral primaries.
And if you are interested in becoming a volunteer activist at DC 37, what is the number to call and what should we be doing?
Contact the Political Action Department at 212-815-1550.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you once again, Chris.
And we're going to do this again.
Absolutely.
And we'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is DC 37 State of the Union on 91.5 WNYE FM. Lunch at New York City Public Schools will be available free of charge to all 1.1 million students beginning this school year, the school's folks announced this week. This has been an effort that DC 37 is very proud to have been part of. Joining us now is Liz Ackles. She's the Executive Director of Community Food Advocates. Welcome back to the show, Liz. You've been on this show a couple of times before talking about this.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on.
So let's talk about the significance of this. We got it. We did it. We worked very hard for it. We pushed very hard. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to all of us who played a role in this.
Yes.
But the real winners of this, of course, are the 1.1 million school students who will now get free lunch regardless.
Yes.
Let's talk about... Go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, what that means is that there are 1.1 million children who will be able to go to the cafeteria, not have to worry about being labeled because of their income and deal with the poverty stigma. There are hundreds of thousands of students we know now that, you know, under the prior system didn't eat, even though their families were struggling and they were hungry. And it also, we know, provides huge financial relief to parents who were above the income cutoff, but struggling to make ends meet.
And as we know, by separating kids who had to identify themselves as, you know, free lunch kids, that was discouraging them from actually eating the lunches.
Exactly.
And this isn't rocket science. This is about being a kid. This is about stigma. This is about shame. And it's just ended this week.
It's pretty amazing. You know, something that we've all worked on together, and DC 37 is such a key partner. This is historic. We've basically taken a program that for decades, both on the national level and local levels, have sorted kids by their income and have meant that a lot of the kids who need it most don't participate. And starting today, that's done. It's a new day.
And we believe that kids who eat actually learn.
Yes, we all know that if you try to make it through a day, whether you're a child or an adult, you know, you just fizzle out at a certain point if you haven't eaten. And this just makes it, school lunch just part of the school day, part of every other service that a child should get without having to worry about their peers or anyone else in the school knowing what their financial situation is.
But we had to take a, we had to take a stand. We had to keep pushing for this. Unfortunately, we were actually kind of behind other cities.
We are.
And what were some of those other cities that are doing this now?
The other big cities who have been doing a universal preschool lunch citywide are Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Dallas, among the other large cities that are doing this. Yes, so we have been behind the eight ball, but you know, we are the largest school district in the country, so the fact that we have done this is major for New York City's students and parents, but also as a statement nationally about the importance of this.
And we've just got like less than a minute left on this, but the experience elsewhere gives us incredible reason to believe that this is going to be nothing but a good thing, right?
Exactly. Universal free school lunch, no matter where it's implemented, is a success. We've known that for a long time. Kids eat more. Parents are no longer having to worry about lunch bills that they can't pay. School administrators don't have to worry about serving as bill collectors. It's a win-win-win all around. And most of all, more kids will be participating.
Well, listen, I want to say thank you again for the effort. We're proud to have been a part of this. Liz Ackles is the executive director of the Community Food Advocates, and there is now free school lunch for all public school students. Thanks very much, Liz.
Thank you, Chris.
That's about all the time we have on the show. A few announcements before we go. Harvey and Irma, the hurricanes Harvey and Irma. Our thoughts and prayers go out to those affected by these hurricanes. Public service workers are always on the front lines of these kinds of disasters. AFSCME, our national union, has set up a fund. If you are a DC 37 member and you want to support the folks who've been hurt by Harvey and Irma, please go to the AFSCME website at www.afscme.org. And as we discussed this Tuesday, September 12th is primary election day. So to volunteer to help get out the vote, call 212-815-1550. The DC 37 Organizing Department continues to hold lunchtime meetings at various sites and on dates citywide. If you want to attend such a meeting, please call 212-815-1095. And the Municipal Employee Legal Services reminds you that they provide legal representation to DC 37 members when applying for citizenship. For more information, call 212-815-1818. I want to thank our guests, DC 37 Political Action Director Jeremy John and Liz Ackles, Executive Director of the Community Food Advocates, for joining us this evening. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The sound engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I am Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.